This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com. This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It is a Tuesday, which means we get the opportunity to visit with our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel, joining us as we start off hour number two, fast and furious here. We get a great Monday Night Football, Dan. We were opening with reactions to that as it pertains to the Chiefs. The Bills are, in fact, not gone. They are very much in the thick of things. The Bengals are struggling, but are a team that almost beat Kansas City. But as you look across the AFC landscape, Baltimore also sort of struggling out of the gates a little bit. I think it's been fortuitous for the Chiefs, who have been 3-0 despite a really difficult schedule to open things up.
Yeah, I was a little shocked at the Bengals game. I mean, 0-3, that's a tough start. You're getting into statistical, you know, not that you can, you know, stats are meant to be broken, right? But you're getting into a land where they're going to have a very hard time being anything but a wild card. And it's just the way it is. And then I thought the Commanders looked, you know, I just thought that was fascinating, man. I normally don't like the two football games, but last night it turned into a worthy experiment. So, but the Bills seem to be the real deal, which is the concern. You know, if you're a Chiefs fan, they look like I really thought their window was closing on them, but not from what I saw last night, not from what I saw week one and two.
Dan, it was another skin of their teeth victory for Kansas City in primetime on Sunday night against the Falcons. I mean, a win is a win, and you look at the win-loss record and you kind of, you know, try to forget about some of the things that have happened in all three of those games, to be completely honest. But Kansas City does pull out the victory against Atlanta. Offensively, just a lot of different things, I think, stood out. And really, for me, I think number one, the biggest thing is just the emergence of Rashee Rice as the legitimate wide receiver one on this team, with what he has developed with Patrick Mahomes and just overall his abilities. To me, and I don't know if you've noticed the same thing, to me, it looks like he is the number one guy on that depth chart.
Yeah, I think so, Tommy. I mean, third game with 75 yards or more. I mean, I just feel like, and honestly, I don't think that they're necessarily featuring him. I think they're trying to get the ball around, but in the progressions of reads that Mahomes has, I think Rice falls early in a lot of those. And so I think He's getting separation. There's the opening. Why not take it, right? So until somebody stops it, you keep doing it. And I just think he's getting better and better. His route running is getting better. If you watch him during warmups this year versus last year, he is so much more precise. And I just think all of that's coming together. The timing between him and Mahomes is you know, gotten so much better, and it's fun to watch, man. I know we're still going to see more Xavier Worthy. We're going to see, you know, you saw Juju get into the end zone. And sooner or later, Kelsey will. You know, it's crazy that we're talking game week three here and no Kelsey, but I just feel like he has really emerged as that true number one, which is something that's been missing on the Chiefs since, you know, Tyreek Hill left.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at some point, teams are going to key on Rice, which will open up Kelsey, I think. I thought what was interesting, maybe the most, is that Isaiah Pacheco's out and the Chiefs were still able to play the exact brand they clearly wanted to play and have wanted to play so far this year, and that's running the ball. I mean, Steele, if you asked me, like, what's a best-case scenario, I would have said he carried the ball around 15 to 18 times, and he did. He was effective. They were able to drain the clock. Atlanta couldn't get on the field. Losing the two offensive linemen, I mean, we got to be real about what happened within the game. The Chiefs' defense looked great, but, man, once those two linemen went down, they didn't have a chance on offense. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't protect Cousins long enough for him to throw the ball. But the Chiefs in that scenario, what do you want to do, right? You want to just milk the clock, and that's what they've been able to do, whether it's Pacheco or now Carson Steele. That's their brand of football, and Steele lets them do it.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was interesting, Jacob, because this is a rookie, right? This is an undrafted free agent kind of situation. You're just going to lump the whole playbook on him and you sit him out there and put him in a full-time starting role? That's what it felt like. It goes to show how much, first of all, how much trust the coaches have in him. And second of all, how hard he's been working these past 3 or 4 months to get into that position where they could do something like that. Again, you know, we talked last week, I think, about how his and Isaiah Pacheco's running style, very similar. They're very, you know, downhill, kind of high knees and right over the middle kind of runners. But I think he's got a little more weight on him, a little more, you know, almost a fullback.
Yeah.
And yet the concern I had going into week three was how much of the playbook can he perform? You know, I mean, he can't take that many snaps. He can't know as much as Isaiah Pacheco. I guess I was wrong, because I thought they lumped they heaped a load on him and he just lived up to it. And so I was really surprised by his performance.
So much has been made, Dan, over the last really couple of weeks, just about the lack of overall production from Travis Kelce through 3 weeks. For me, I don't really put a lot of stake into that, just because we know Travis Kelce and we know the kind of talent that he is and the connection that he and Mahomes have. I think more than anything, with Patrick Mahomes, and I think it's fair to say through 3 weeks, it hasn't been quite as like Mahomes-esque as we probably would expect it to be. I think that's a larger story than Travis Kelce not putting up gaudy numbers through 3 weeks. There have been a couple of careless mistakes, you know, that Mahomes has made, and I know from time to time that'll happen. You know, the interception on Sunday night, I watched it back a few times, and I'm like, man, that's not a pass that Mahomes typically would make, you know? And yeah. So do you see any lingering concerns with that, or is it something that primarily you think he'll just be able to work through?
Well, with regards to just, you know, Mahomes' play in general, lingering concerns, I would say not yet, Tommy. I feel like Mahomes is having to kind of reinvent or how do I want to say that? He's having to understand what this new offense is about. I mean, because it's different than last year. It's certainly, I mean, you might go back to 2018, 2019 and say, well, it's similar to that. Yeah, yes and no. And so I feel like he's struggling a little bit just to kind of absorb it all. Instead of having one or two outlets, now he's got four, and he's got, you know, just a slew of options there of what they're trying to do. So not that it's overwhelming. I just think he's trying to kind of figure out how to work this offense. So I think if this lingers into mid-October, late October, then yeah. I mean, it's, you know, what's wrong with Mahomes kind of thing. But those, I always think it's interesting, you know, in training camp or preseason rather, coach encourages Mahomes to throw interceptions, meaning find the window, find the difference between an interception and an almost interception, and do that in preseason so that when you get into the game. So I think that's a little of what's going on here with that. You know, it's he's finding that window between squeaky close and oops, I shouldn't have thrown that. And Mahomes has been so stable with that over the years. When you think about how many passing yards he's thrown and how fewer interceptions he's thrown, it's a really good stat. So not worried yet. With regards to Kelce, I think it's just amazing that, you know, we've survived on Kelce being that outlet receiver, you know, that go-to guy. And now we got several go-to guys, and it's kind of overwhelming the you know, there you can't, not enough mouths to feed or not enough food to go around. And so I kind of wondered last week, you know, are they kind of not featuring Kelce to say, hey, go stop this to open Kelce up? I don't know if that's the game plan, but that's effectively what's going to happen, right? As soon as they stop paying attention to Kelce and they move these guys to double team Rice or double team Worthy, Kelsey's going to come alive again, I think.
I think it's game plan too. I don't think the Chiefs want to be the kind of offense I thought they were going to be. And I don't know if that's because Hollywood Brown hasn't played and now Isaiah, but they want to run the ball. They want to run the ball and just drain the clock. I mean, that's clearly their style right now. They're just not giving in to defenses that are intentionally not, and this is happening across the league. Nobody wants to give up big plays. And so the Chiefs are like, okay, fine, we'll just drain it out of you. And I think one of Mahomes' more underrated qualities is his adaptability. And I think right now his adaptability is saying, play this way. And it's, you know, I don't know if the numbers are going to be there just based on the personnel they have on the field. So, I mean, you keep doing it, right? And I guess with Carson Steele, it allows you to. Do you see, after what we saw in the Atlanta game, knowing that the Chiefs are going to want to run the ball, do you see Kareem Hunt carving out a role, or do you think they feel good with what they saw out of P. Ryan and Steele?
Well, it's a great question. You know, I think Kareem Hunt at 29 still has miles on his, you know, still has tread on his tires. I don't know if it'll ever be what he had in his rookie season. I think, what did he have, 1,300 yards or something like that, his rookie season? He was very good. I don't know that Kareem Hunt is that Kareem Hunt, but I think there's a role for him. I think they'll continue, you know, with the trust they showed in week three on Carson Steele and the effectiveness that he had. I don't know that they'll change it. I do think it's interesting. You know, I mentioned this on pregame on Sunday. As of week two, there has been more rushing yards in the first 2 weeks of this season since any other season since the 70s. It's like all of a sudden there's this resurgence of rushing, you know. We thought we were all in love with the passing game, but and I think it's interesting that the Chiefs are doing that as well. You mentioned it. You know, we used to be, for years, we were pass the ball to run the ball. Now it's almost like we're back to that conventional run the ball, play action pass. And so, again, I think that all kind of goes to show how the team is reinventing itself offensively. And I do think the one nice thing about having Kareem Hunt in the mix is Kareem, if you look at Kareem's stats from Cleveland, while he didn't have a lot of yardage, he had a lot of touchdowns. So they put him in red zone situations, and I think that's an area that the Chiefs still struggle a little bit in, is those red zone situations. So maybe he'll become the Jerick McKinnon third down. He'll become the Jerick McKinnon in the red zone, get the touchdown, guy. Which, by the way, I'm not really sure why Jerick McKinnon isn't back on this team, but that's a whole nother question, I guess.
Well, really, Dan, the other offensive positional shakeup going into week three outside of running back was obviously left tackle. And so the decision was made by Andy Reid before the primetime matchup against the Falcons to start Wanye Morris instead of Sua Mataia. And it looks like that will probably be the case going into week four against the Chargers as well. Kingsley did rotate in and played, you know, a decent amount of snaps in the Falcons game on Sunday. What did you take away from seeing Wanye starting in that role? And do you anticipate it's going to go back and forth between those two as the season goes on? Or ideally, would they like to really have one guy be the starter as the season progresses?
I think ideally, like, they'd like to have one guy. I did talk to Coach a little about this because I was shocked that Wanye looked substantially better. And I wasn't sure whether that was the competition, fear, what that was. And Coach believes he just finally is healthy. He just thinks that he's been battling injury this whole time and he's finally healthy and able to do. He was really moving fast. His little kick step to the left, man, he was getting out there and setting, you know, that edge pretty well. And I hadn't seen that out of Wanye Morris. I think equally, and this didn't come from Coach, this is my assessment. I think with Kingsley Suamataia, I think we saw him get overwhelmed. I think that, you know, it was just too much for him. And so when they look at these two, I think they'd rather have Wanye in there and bring Kingsley along a little more slowly so that he can be more comfortable in that position and get in there and be more effective rather than be battling his mind and body. So that's my take on it. So I think if, you know, it's kind of at this point, Wanye's job to lose. And we'll see how this week goes. I mean, the Chargers, you know, we can get into it, but the Chargers are, man, they're typical Chargers. They're banged up.
They always are banged up.
They've always been banged up
for the last decade.
It's a curse. I'm telling you.
It's just absolutely insane. I look at that, but I kind of look at the next two. You've got that one and you got Monday Night Football against the Saints, who are obviously better than people thought. If we didn't know anything about this year other than I told you coming in that Isaiah Pacheco and Hollywood Brown would be out, we'd be happy with 3-2 when you look at those first five games. I feel like it's a little bit of house money here against the Chargers and the Saints. You know, you thought when you looked that those would be two wins and maybe you had a couple losses, one or two in the other ones. Now you've got all three of those wins.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs, I think they can just really let it rip in these next two games. Absolutely no pressure whatsoever in those two going into the bye week.
I mean, if you just look at the season and you take September, October, November, and December, and you say, okay, you're going to lose one game in each of those months, you're 13-4, you know? And so if you had said, Jacob, to me in August, what do you want to do in September? I probably would have said, you know, I'd really like to go 3-1. I'll settle for 2-2. And here we are 3-0 with a very real possibility of 4-0. So yeah, house money. I agree. Do I think it's a trap game? No, because I just don't think the way coach is with the players, I think that is really difficult. He just wouldn't allow that kind of mentality. So I don't think that, but I do think, you know, it's a situation where, man, and let me just say for the record, it'd be nice to hear the words Carson Wentz coming in for Patrick Mahomes here, because these nail biters are killing me, man. But I'd love to see at least a clean game, you know, a really, you know, error-free game, because I feel like the Chiefs are still making a lot of errors, and they're 3-0. They won three games, and they didn't play their best football.
They're fortunate to be 3-0. They're a toenail away from a Ravens loss. The Bengals feel like they should have won that game, and that was a blown call in the end zone against Atlanta. That was pass interference, clearly. And there were some phantom flags thrown, but you were never going to get a makeup call on that missed one. So not only is it, but you feel fortunate to be 3-0. You could be 0-3 in this. I mean, just like that in this, it's been that close. That's where Mahomes, I think, no matter what numbers he puts up, that's where you tip your cap to Mahomes. Like, he just wins a whole bunch more of those than he loses. But it's not like they've been a dominant 3-0.
No, agreed. And you know, I think we both looked at, or we all looked at the first two games of the season and said, You know, let's just split them. You know, let's just win one and we'll lose one. Okay. You know, are the Bengals as bad as 0-3 would suggest? I don't think so. I think they'll figure things out, but they certainly have their problems. But yeah, I think the Ravens was a fortunate game. I mean, they were able. Look, if the you know had the things not had the had the guy gotten his toe in, they still had to go for a 2-point right. conversion. You know, had the call last night or Sunday been pass interference, they still would have had to get into the end zone and all that stuff, right?
And but, would have had to stop Mahomes, right?
Correct. And so I do think, you know, good teams find a way to win kind of vernacular is appropriate here. And you just have to throw in. And I've always said this, you know, that to get to a Super Bowl, there has to be just a certain amount of luck, whether it's injury free or blown calls or what have you. And so I hope we're not using all our luck up now, but yeah, being 3-0 sitting where we're sitting right now feels incredibly gracious from if you believe there's a script in the NFL, we appreciate being its protagonist.
Well, and on that note, Dan, I mean, I think that by any level of standard that every single player in that locker room has for themselves and for the team overall, I would have guessed that none of them would say that they've played a full and complete game through 3 weeks yet. I'm sure that none of them are, they're happy to be 3-0. They're happy with the wins, but I'm not sure that anybody's overly thrilled with the way that they've gotten to 3-0. Eventually they're going to have to play a complete game and, you know, a really solid full game. In your mind, is that just trying to eliminate as many of the mistakes as possible?
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. I mean, as someone who's in the locker room before the media gets in there, I see what the players are, how they're reacting and acting, and I see what they're talking about. And I always think it's interesting. You go, like, I think it was the Bengals game. I walked into the locker room, and guys were happy. But they were talking about moments of the game, like what happened here and this and that. They weren't going, you know, they weren't smoking cigars and saying, you know, we rock, man. We're the world champions. And I think it's a really good mindset. When you think you can improve, you know, the first ability to improving is believing that you have room to improve. And so I really admire the way they're approaching this. They know they're fortunate too. And they know they can play better, and they're dedicated to eliminating those mistakes. Man, you know, just some of the timely penalties, and I think much like we were talking about with Mahomes and interceptions, I think McDuffie and pass interference is kind of that same deal. It's such a fine line, and he's really trying to figure out where that is. Man, he makes some spectacular plays. And then there's times also I think, heck, give me the pass interference. You know, I'm fine with that. I mean, that's not, they still have to do this or they still have to do that. So, but I think these, as the season goes, the one thing we want to see, and I think the one thing we will see is those, the elimination of these small errors and mistakes.
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier the way the Chargers are playing, injuries or not. They're clearly a better football team than they have been. That's a 3:25 kick. It's the late afternoon window with all eyes there on Harbaugh and Mahomes. It'll be a good one. The first game of this series with Harbaugh there, Dan, and you guys will be there and people will hear it right on the Chiefs Radio Network over on KNSS. We're pumped for it.
Yeah, I am too. You know, Chargers is always an interesting game because it feels half home game. It's just right. You can't get people out there. And as we mentioned, you know, the Chargers are so banged up, you know, the loss of, you know, you got Derwin James out. You got Herbert, who's may or may not play. If he plays, he's going to play with a high ankle sprain. You got Joey Bosa with a hip, the left and right tackle injured. It smells like a game that we should be able to go out and play Chiefs football and win. And with the Chargers, when I looked at this schedule, I said, you know, who could we possibly lose to here? Chargers, I figured we might drop one of the two games to the Chargers. And so if we can get a W here, then we can deal with the Chargers on the back end of the season as well. But one thing's for sure, it's going to be an exciting game because I just think that's the era of football, Chiefs football, that we're in right now.
And somebody will be able to handle those running backs the ball about 40 times in that game, I think, for L.A. All right, Dan, well, we'll hear it. Pre-game coverage, the full thing right here on the Chiefs Radio Network. We appreciate it. We'll see if it can go for 4-0.
I like it. Have a good Tuesday, guys. Go Chiefs.